feedback emerging between the warming Arctic and what's happening with the jet stream.
Thank you. We are out of time. That concludes our press conference. Thank you very much.
That was Professor Jennifer Francis from Rutgers University. She was part of the team of 61 scientists from 11 nations that presented the 11th annual peer-reviewed report card on the status of the Arctic under the auspices of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The other speakers were Marco Tedesco, he's professor at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory, Columbia University, New York, and NOAA's Arctic Research Program Director, Jeremy Mathis, and Don Perovich, Adjunct Professor of Engineering at Dartmouth College. The report provided the latest information on the accelerating warming of the Arctic. The Arctic Report Card 2016 has been posted free online from the beginning. We need to make sure that this research will not be defunded or classified. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. TUC Radio is free and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation keeps this program on the air. Go to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.
KABU is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events Survey on KABU.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to KABU.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KABU, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
You're listening to Voices for the Animals on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals. I'm Dab Stedman, your host, and we'll be talking today with Tara Hathaway and Amanda Otto from Northwest Veg. You'll be hearing about their organization and the connection between diet and farm animals, the environment, and your health. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Hi, Dab.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Oh, great.
Thanks so much for having us.
Both can make it. Tara, let's begin by telling our listeners a little bit about the Northwest Veg Group. What is your primary mission there?
Well, our mission statement is that we educate and encourage people to make vegan choices for a healthy, sustainable, and compassionate world. And we are a nonprofit organization based in the Portland area, founded in 2003.
And I know you have been pretty active, at least this past year, with the group. Can you tell our listeners what you do?
Starting just this July, I was hired on as the volunteer coordinator and event planning assistant for Northwest Veg.
I know that's been a big job, especially, you know, planning that huge event that you have every fall at the convention center.
Oh, yeah.
I recently came across a quote by Paul McCartney, which I think reflects the Northwest Veg promotes, basically, you know, a vegan diet. He says, quote, "If anyone wants to save the planet, all they have to do is just stop eating meat. That's the single most important thing you can do. Vegetarianism takes care of so many things in one shot: ecology, famine, and cruelty, end quote. So let's take a closer look at the reasons for adopting a veggie diet, and maybe starting by addressing the animal issues first. What effect do our dietary choices have on them?
A lot. It really does. Well, just a little, to put it into like a measurement, I have from the PETA website that every vegan saves more than 100 animals a year. And there's simply no easier way to help animals and prevent suffering than choosing vegan foods over meat, eggs, and dairy.
And most people don't realize that 99% of all the 10 billion animals eaten in the U.S. every year are raised on factory farms. So I think we should talk about what a factory farm is and how that might differ from, let's say, a smaller family-owned livestock operation. Okay. All right.
Oh, so how...
In other words, you know, why are the animals doing so poorly or suffering the way that they're raised here in the United States and in other parts of the world as well?
It's for mass product and economics, money. It's they're looked at as a dollar sign. And how can we make a mass profit off of these animals? So, you know, you mutate their genes. They become genetically modified to gain as much weight as they can, as much as they can, where they can't even walk. Chickens, they're... size of their bodies get so big, and also turkeys, and they just fall over. They can't even walk. And the same with all the animals and the use of antibiotics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, their living conditions are very, very poor. And I think a lot of people, when they think of farm animals, have this idyllic picture in their minds of, you know, a couple of cows grazing, you know, on several acres of land and romping around with their little calves and everything. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, they're kept in almost like a equivalent of a concentration camp for animals in very closely confined quarters where mm-hmm. sometimes they can't even turn around and they can't express any of their natural behaviors. So, you know, we can see that... animal suffering is definitely related to our standard American diet. Unfortunately, it wasn't always like that, but that's the way that it is now. Let me ask you, and maybe Amanda would know this because she's been with the organization a little bit longer, but do adults ever join Northwest Veg because they are moved by their own child-strong compassion for farm animals?
I can tell you from my experience that my mother recently became vegetarian vegan this year, and that's largely because I have been a part of the organization for such a long time. Personally, I've been vegetarian for 11 years and vegan for 6 of those, and my mom has been able to see the way that I've made changes, and she's been able to hear about the organization, and she's come to some of our events. And so I feel like whether your child is maybe a teenager and trying to decide how they feel about what they're eating and what they're contributing to, or maybe they're in their 30s like I am, and they're just sharing their lives and their meals with you. But I absolutely think that it makes an impact for people of all ages and their families.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, I mean, when you feel that you've learned something that really enhances your life and maybe your soul a little bit too, it certainly the first people you would want to share that with would be your own family members.
And I would add too that I think that we learn a lot of our compassionate tendencies as children and our love for animals from our families. I mean, we've always had animals in our home and my parents have always loved animals. So I don't think it was a far cry for this transition for me and one that my mom would embrace. Too.
Yeah, well, great. You were lucky to grow up in such a nice household. So another reason also stated for eating vegan is the tremendous benefit a meat and dairy-free diet has on human health. So what problems are veggie eaters likely to avoid, or conversely, what problems are linked to our traditional way of eating?
Lots. I could personalize this for you if you want.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
So I went vegetarian when I was 10 years old. I proclaimed to my meat-eating parents at the table, I'm not eating meat anymore. And it wasn't because I saw a documentary or anything. I just always knew what I was eating. And I was a huge animal lover. So I quit eating meat, but I ate so much dairy. Cheese every day, omelets for usually breakfast and dinner, and yogurt and milk and everything else. I was growing up, I was constantly sick all the time. I was in bed most of my life having different tests performed on me, immune system tests, blood work, and all this kind of stuff that would come back normal. So when tests come back normal, then they wonder, is it psychosomatic? Is it in her head? And no, it wasn't. I was constant sinus infections and lethargic and always coming down with a cold. And I thought this isn't any way to live. I was only in my 20s. And well, teens and 20s, and my mom was so worried.
Which should be the prime of your health. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was so sick. And I started researching. Now, this was in the end of 2014. I started researching veganism. And I thought, well, I wonder if food is the answer. So for 1 week, I said, I'm going to try just 1 week. I went raw vegan. And my energy just skyrocketed. I was vacuuming at 11:30 in the evening. I didn't know what to do with all this energy. It's like, oh my gosh, yes. Wow. I feel like a spring chicken again.
What a transformation.
Yeah. But then I went back to my old ways of just eating. And it wasn't until April 6, 2015 that that was the day I went vegan completely.
And how has your health been since that point?
Pretty amazing. I did go through a detox period of about a week and a half.
And I understand that's normal, yeah.
But I knew I wasn't sick. I knew I was healing. It was just healing sleep. And after that, I feel like I'm home now. Like I'm Tara. I'm back to Tara again. I'm not this chronically sick person.
That's a story with a happy ending. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that from what I've read as well, that so many diseases are called lifestyle diseases. Heart disease, for instance, which is the number one killer in the U.S., is definitely related to a heavy meat-eating diet, meat and dairy eating. Some particular cancers, diabetes. Mm-hmm. There's certain toxins that we take in by virtue of eating flesh foods, such as mercury. I understand that obesity as well. Well, let me put it this way, that somebody who eats either a vegetarian or a vegan diet is much less likely to be overweight than someone who eats a standard American diet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So then the third prong on this trident of good reasons for going vegan or vegetarian, at least. So in addition to personal health and the inhumane treatment of animals, we know that there are environmental impacts from meat production as well. Can you fill us in a little bit about that?
Meat is not green, you know, the green, quote unquote, green. Consuming meat is, really detrimental to the planet and very wasteful and causes lots of pollution. It is also known that the meat industry is one of the biggest causes of climate change. And adopting a vegan diet is more effective than switching to a greener car to fight against climate change.
Yeah, I guess when you add up all the water that it takes to raise livestock for human consumption, when you think about all the waste products that have to be dealt with and that apparently are contaminating our waterways, a direct result of factory farming on a big scale, contamination of groundwater. Many times, particularly in South America, whole forests are torn down in order to provide space for, you know, cattle and other livestock to graze. So there's, there's massive consumption of water, food that might be going to people otherwise, and also, using large amounts of land that could be used for other purposes as well. So,
yeah, it's just not economical.
Yeah. I think when you add it all up, it's a pretty convincing argument, Tara. So thank you. All right, that's a good place for us to stop and take a short break now. So please stay tuned, and we'll return in just a few moments. We're back now, and you're listening to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. We've been talking with Tara Hathaway and Amanda Otto of the Northwest Veg Group about the many reasons to make the change to a veggie diet in the new year. Amanda, it's your turn now, and for the benefit of some listeners who might not be clear on this point, what is the difference between a vegetarian diet and a vegan one?
The way I like to think about it is that a vegetarian diet is one that still involves animal products, but where the animal does not have to die to provide that product. So an omnivore obviously might be eating a hamburger that's made of a dead animal, whereas a vegetarian might be eating a cheeseburger that's made of a fake meat, but they would have a dairy cheese on top, that type of thing. A vegan, however, does not participate in anything that involves an animal product whatsoever. So that cheese, what's dairy-based for a vegetarian, would be non-dairy-based for a vegan. Vegans look at anything that animals are involved in and anything that touches them, something that would impact them, say, from wool and things that we would wear to the things that we eat. And if it impacts an animal or came from an animal, vegans don't participate.
Okay, that's a very complete answer. Thank you very much. So in early January in the new year, your organization is sponsoring an opportunity for members of the public to make an important lifestyle change. Please tell us all about the Veg Challenge.
Well, this is our second year doing the 22-day Veg Challenge, and we wanted to have something that was based here in the Portland area where people could be a part of a community and could make a change to integrate some more vegan aspects into their lives. If you'd like to be vegan for the whole 20 days, that's phenomenal, but we do have daily challenges for you that range from trying out a new grain to maybe removing some of those animal products from your closet and looking at all of the different aspects, as you were saying, Dab, from your health to the environment, the way the animals are treated, all of the different ways that we look at a vegan lifestyle.
So do people sign up and then come together and have a meeting, or how does one participate in the challenge?
Well, that's a great question, because there are many levels of participation. So for example, if you do live in the Portland metro area, you are welcome to come join us at events during these 22 days. So we will have a kickoff event on the opening day, which will be on Saturday, January 7th. That will be the first day of the challenge, and we will have a gathering in the Portland area. We'll also have a closing event on the final day of the challenge, which is the 28th, also a Saturday in the Portland area. And if you can come, please do. Learn more about the vegan challenges that we will be having, communicate with people in the area, share recipes, have friendships. That's wonderful. If you're not in the Portland area, you can still absolutely sign up and participate. You would just do some things remotely. And we have options for you that are alternatives to any in-person meetings.
Wow, that sounds like it's very well organized. Will there be any kind of support available for those pledging in case they have some questions or are faltering in any way?
Yeah, and that's, I think, a huge component, too, because you really need to have a support system if you're making certain changes. I remember when I first was becoming vegan, I didn't realize that Caesar salad dressing had anchovies in it.
Oh, yeah.
Little things like that can be a quick pitfall. And so we do have an accompanying mentorship program. And this is something where if you're new to being vegan and you would like to have a local support system or someone to just maybe share an email with instead of getting together with, we can match you with someone who has similar goals. Maybe you have young children. We can match you with a member who has young children, and that mentor can help explain to you how they put together lunches for their kids and answer your questions about maybe baking substitutes. This is one of those times where I end up making a lot of banana breads and zucchini breads, and it's good to know how to take the eggs out pretty easily and still work with old recipes. So if you are interested in trying a vegan diet and you would like some extra support, we do have mentors available to help you through that process.
Oh, that's a really great idea. I'm glad you're doing that. I went on your website, northwestveg.org, and my gosh, there's so much useful information there. If someone else wanted to do that, give us a glimpse of what they might find there.
Well, one of the things that I primarily use the Northwest Veg website for is the resources section where we have dining guides. We have an entire page on restaurants in the Portland metro area. You can select the area of town that you're in, and you can see if there are vegan restaurants near you, vegan-friendly or vegetarian restaurants near you, and you can look at local businesses that participate in having a vegan lifestyle or supporting vegan meals. And it's a really nice resource for you that's completely free and available through the Northwest Veg website, nwveg.org.
Yeah, I think that you also have nutritional information available.
You're absolutely right. And we have videos up from former VegFest events as well. So if there was a speaker that you didn't get a chance to see at one of our events, we do have many of those videos on our website or on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, let's digress and just speak a moment about the VegFest, because it's such a huge event, and you pull in people who are top in their field, you know, of nutrition or health or, you know, all the different aspects from all over the country. And I know that thousands of people, you know, members of the public, vegetarians and vegans and non, attend this event. So can tell us a little bit about that and what you encompass in that activity.
Well, one of the things I think that VegFest is best known for is food samples, all the food vendors. And that's wonderful. And I definitely take advantage of that myself. However, I think the kind of best kept secret about VegFest is that we have several rooms in the convention center that are outside of the exhibit hall where you can listen to some great speakers. As you were saying, Dab, we this past year had Dr. Neil Barnard, who's involved with the Physicians Council for Responsible Medicine. And we had Dr. Alan Goldhammer, Dr. Brooke Goldner. We had some really wonderful speakers who are at the tops of their fields doing research and hands-on with their clients and taking care of people every day and helping educate them about a vegan diet. And they give wonderful talks. They answer questions. So the next time we've got our VegFest coming next year, you absolutely should check out our speaker schedule and pop into a speaker room, because that's with your price of admission to come listen to these wonderful experts.
Will do. Will do. So I'm hearing that your group is all about educating the public and with all the facts and figures and everything out there, and so many people just really turning on to going vegan or going vegetarian, realizing all the many benefits of it, that you were providing a great, great service. I know that I read on your website that you offer a course called Veg 101. A friend of mine is interested in serving more veggie meals to her family. Would that course, would that class be helpful to her or appropriate for her?
Absolutely. One of the best things about Veg 101 is that it's set up as kind of a hybrid class. The first part of the class includes like a lecture about a specific topic, and the second part of the class includes a food demo. So you'll learn actually how to make the foods that you're discussing. And so when I attended Veg 101 a few years ago, we had sessions on tofu. Like, tofu can be kind of intimidating, and frankly, a lot of people don't love tofu, and I think it's just because it's not cooked very well. And so you'll get to learn how to add flavor to tofu and how to work with grains and beans that you might not be familiar with. And you'll hear from people who've worked with them for a very long time, and you'll see how they work with them. You'll taste the food. You'll get recipes. It's a really good way to kind of dip your toe in. You do not have to be vegan to be a part of Veg 101. It's just an introduction to vegan foods and adding them to your plates.
Yeah, and I was kind of curious. You offer something called Iron Chef Cooking Demos. I thought that was a pretty catchy title. So who does those, and what kinds of things do you demonstrate?
Well, there's a group that oversees the Vegan Iron Chef, and they have one big annual event every year. But it's a really cool way to see people make culinary masterpieces out of vegan foods. A lot of people think, oh, you're vegan, you're eating salads, you're eating rice and beans. Vegan Iron Chef is an opportunity to see very skilled chefs putting a lot of thought and nuance into the foods that they're making and having delicious and beautiful vegan meals.
Sounds yummy. I know that you also have dine outs, happy hours, and potluck dinners. How often are those offered?
That's right. Yeah, we have potlucks once a month across the area. So we have one in Vancouver, one in Gresham, one in West Portland, one in East Portland. Of course, all of that specific information is available on our website and through our newsletter, which we send out a couple times a month. You can keep track of where the potluck's going to be. We always have a speaker at the potlucks sharing information with you in their field of expertise. We do have dine outs that usually happen once a month, and they'll often be at a restaurant or a bar, and you can meet up with other vegans or vegan interested people and have great conversations, make connections. We do also have a meetup group that you can be a part of, and that's how you would hear about the dine outs.
Well, that's nice that you do things according to sort of regional locale, because, well, with all the traffic here in Portland Metro lately, you know, someone might not want to drive clear across town. So that's terrific to make it so convenient. But let me ask you, if somebody is not quite ready to take the full plunge into vegan lifestyle, but is kind of leaning in that direction or is just curious, can they still participate in the Northwest Veg activities?
Absolutely, they can. The only thing we ask is that if you're coming to a potluck, for example, that the meal that you bring with you is 100% vegan, though you yourself do not need to be vegan to attend. But absolutely drop in, have some conversations with us. We are a totally open door organization. You do not have to be vegan to participate.
Oh, great. Now, I know that there's, you know, your website is just so extensive, but you mentioned you have a list of restaurants where people can refer to that and find places where they can go out and taste some, you know, really well-prepared vegan food. You mentioned business tips. What did you mean by that on your website?
We have business supporters specifically. So we have local businesses. Maybe they are a vegan or a vegetarian restaurant, or somewhere like Herbivore, for example, which is a vegan clothing store and accessories location. They have cookbooks. They've got tons of stuff. And so Northwest Veg has partnered with them to be a part of our website, and we will offer promotions a lot of the times for the things that they're doing, because we have a common mission.
Great. Great. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about the Northwest Veg Group or your upcoming Veg Challenge, how can they contact you? What's the best way?
The best way, as you were mentioning, through our extensive website. We've got tons of information on there. Don't let it overwhelm you, though. We have it pretty well categorized. NWVeg.org. Our 22-day challenge is in our events section. The Veg 101 class you were mentioning, which will start up in a couple months, is in the classes section. You are welcome to join and become a member of Northwest Veg. As Tara mentioned, we are a nonprofit organization, and we have a membership base here in the Portland area that helps us continue to run and offer these great opportunities for the community to connect.
Well, it sounds like a great organization. How many members do you currently have?
We have just over 600 at last count.
Great. And I bet it's growing all the time.
We're trying. Yeah. We keep wanting people to spread the good word about Northwest Veg, come to our events. Though, again, you don't have to be a member to be able to participate. But if you'd like to become a member, you're welcome.
Okay, great. Oh, go ahead, Tara. Oh,
I'd like to mention that there are also a lot of different volunteer opportunities to get involved. And you can find out what those are. Like we talked about VegFest. That is mostly a volunteer-run operation. We depend on volunteers.
And how about when people give the demonstrations or when they give the presentations, the lectures, and so forth? Are you drawing from members, or where do those people come from?
All of the above. Some of them are members. For example, our board president, Peter Spendelow, is one of our regular speakers. He'll be speaking on a panel at our closing session to talk about the environment because he has worked in the environmental field and has a doctorate and knows his stuff. So we do have some members. We have some community members that we're connected to. Whoever it is that has the information that we want to share with our community, we will bring in.
Okay, great. We have just about a minute left, and Tara already shared her personal story, and you talked about your mother, Amanda, but how about you? What prompted you to make this lifestyle change?
Well, I became vegetarian because I wanted to stop the suffering for animals that were dying on those factory farms that you mentioned. I saw some videos, glass houses, right? If all of the factory farms had glass houses, everyone would be vegan. So when you actually get a look through those walls, it's pretty terrifying. But I didn't make the transition to vegan right away until I learned more about how the animals were treated in those battery cages, as you'd mentioned before. So even though they were alive, they didn't necessarily have a great life. And that was my transition to vegan 6 years ago. And I've never looked back. A great resource for me was the book, The Kind Diet. It tells you all about why you should be vegan, maybe not vegetarian, and how to do it.
And who wrote that book?
That's by Alicia Silverstone.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, Alicia Silverstone.
I know. She's a celebrity, but she did her research, I'm telling you.
Okay, that's great. All right. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time now, and I want to thank you both very much for being on this program today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Deb.
Okay. We've just been talking with Amanda Otto and Tara Hathaway of Northwest Veg about adopting a kinder, healthier, and more earth-friendly vegan style in the new year. This is Dab Stedman thanking you for listening to Voices for the Animals. To hear the podcast from any of our shows, please just visit us online at kboo.fm and click on Programs. And please plan to tune in again on the fourth Monday of next month. Until then, remember that you too can be a voice for the animals.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Curiosities, a vintage mall serving the West Side with space for over 70 dealers and a selection of vintage, retro, mid-century clothing, jewelry, and antiques. Curiosities is located at 12705 Southwest Beaver Dam Road in Beaverton. More at www.curiosities.com.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Rose Maddox, and I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, the station that I listen to when I'm in the area.
Stand by for the noontime jamboree. Talbot, 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 Talbot.